ever turned on the tap and, well, nothing happened. Or maybe you've just seen the news about drought conditions somewhere and felt that little twinge of worry.
Yeah, that feeling of what if.
Exactly. We've all had that moment where we realize just how much we depend on something we usually just, you know, expect to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we're taking a deep dive into something really fundamental. Water storage.
That's right. We're going to explore why having that readily available water is so crucial, not just in those like dramatic emergency scenarios,
mm-hmm.
but also for everyday resilience.
And that peace of mind, right? Knowing you're prepared.
Exactly. And our guide for this deep dive is an article from April 24th, 2025, called Water Storage Tips, Essential Strategies for Success. It really covers the whole gamut, the necessity, the different ways to do it, and crucially, how to make sure your stored water is actually safe and, well, effective when you need it.
Okay, awesome. So let's get right to it then. The article really hits home the critical role of water storage, especially when we're talking emergencies. Why is having that backup supply just so vital?
Well, as the article points out, a dependable supply of stored water, it acts as your primary safety net during a whole range of emergencies. Think natural disasters like floods, earthquakes.
Or even just prolonged droughts, right? Or unexpected disruptions in your local water service.
Precisely. In those situations, access to stored water can genuinely be a matter of survival. It's that basic.
And it's not just some abstract worst-case scenario thinking, is it? The article gives us a really powerful example. Communities that had robust water storage systems already in place, they fared significantly better during things like major hurricanes.
That's a key point. They could support their own residents. Meanwhile, others waiting for outside help faced, you know, critical shortages. It really underscores the tangible benefits.
It really does.
And the advantages, they stretch beyond those high-intensity situations, too. The article emphasizes how reliable water storage contributes to our everyday lives, making sure we have water for basic hygiene, for cooking, drinking, even if there are just temporary glitches with the public supply.
Right. It shifts it from being a what-if scenario to a real element of just household resilience, being prepared.
It's about fostering greater self-reliance, having direct control over such an essential resource.
Okay, now this is where I found it particularly interesting. The article details these broader benefits beyond just keeping us hydrated in a pinch.
Yeah, what's fascinating there is the kind of ripple effect. The article highlights its critical role in maintaining basic hygiene, hand washing, bathing. You know, when clean water is scarce, these simple practices are paramount for stopping illness spreading.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. A water disruption could very quickly become a hygiene crisis, which then causes all sorts of other health problems.
Mm.
And it's not just about cleanliness, is it? The article also touches on how stored water can empower communities, letting them prepare meals, even do some small-scale gardening. That boosts resilience overall.
Precisely. In regions maybe facing water scarcity that impacts growing food, stored water becomes incredibly valuable. It lets families, communities, cultivate small gardens, maybe providing a more secure food supply when external factors mess with access.
So it fosters that self-sufficiency?
Exactly. It's a cornerstone of long-term resilience.
And thinking even bigger picture, the article connects effective water storage strategies to broader water security. It even mentions innovative approaches in places like sub-Saharan Africa to optimize water use.
Right. And connecting this globally, the article argues that investing in robust water storage isn't just about immediate needs. It's actually part of responsible environmental stewardship.
How so?
Well, by using stored water efficiently, communities can minimize waste and contribute to managing this vital resource sustainably. It lines up with a lot of global initiatives focused on, you know, comprehensive water management.
Okay, so we're clear on the why. It's essential. Let's shift gears to the practical side. How do we actually go about storing water? The article outlines a variety of solutions.
Yeah, it introduces the common methods, things like tanks, barrels, cisterns.
Mm.
And it's important to recognize there isn't like one single best option for everyone.
Right.
Different solutions offer different capacities. They're designed for different needs. So, for instance, large tanks might be ideal for rainwater harvesting, but smaller barrels could be better for just individual household emergency supplies.
And it's not just about picking something from a catalog, is it? The article stresses that the best solution really depends on your specific local situation, like the climate, even cultural practices.
That's a crucial point. What works best for you? The article notes how, say, underground cisterns are popular in some regions because they naturally keep water cool, minimize evaporation.
Makes sense.
But then elsewhere, maybe elevated tanks are better if you need a gravity-fed system. It's about picking what maximizes efficiency and keeps the water safe and accessible for your context.
Okay, so once you have your storage set up, it's definitely not a set it and forget it deal, right? The article really hammers home the ongoing importance of maintenance and safety.
Absolutely not. Regular checks, regular maintenance, they're vital. As the article highlights, keeping up with it lets you spot potential problems early. Contamination, maybe structural issues with the containers.
Before they become serious headaches.
Exactly. For example, cleaning your tanks and barrels periodically is essential to stop algae and harmful bacteria growing. That directly impacts your water quality.
And it's not just about cleaning, but also the containers themselves, the materials they're made from. The article specifies certain materials to look for.
That's right. Safety starts with the container. The article recommends food-grade plastics, specifically HDPE, that's high-density polyethylene. It's stable, doesn't tend to leach chemicals.
Okay, HDPE.
Also stainless steel and glass. These materials are much less likely to transfer harmful stuff into the water. And a simple but critical safety measure the article reminds us of. Clearly labeling your containers prevents accidental mix-ups or contamination.
Makes total sense. Let's dig a bit deeper into choosing those containers. What specific features should we look out for?
The article gives some very practical advice here. Again, paramount importance. Food-grade materials.
Right.
Avoid any potential leaching.
Right.
Stainless steel gets another mention for its excellent durability and how easy it is to clean. Those are big pluses for long-term storage.
And thinking about actually using them, filling them, cleaning them, the article suggests looking for certain design elements.
Exactly. Wide openings are recommended. They just make filling and cleaning out much simpler.
Yeah, trying to clean through a tiny opening is a nightmare.
Totally. And the article also points out the benefit of transparent or semi-transparent containers. They let you easily monitor the water level and just visually check the water's condition. Makes spotting potential issues much easier, much earlier.
And for those of us in, say, apartments versus houses, there are different options. The piece mentions stackable designs for tight open spaces, bigger models for rural settings, even collapsible ones.
Flexibility is definitely key. The article highlights how these different designs cater to a whole spectrum of needs and space limits. And it's a good reminder, when you're choosing, look for containers that have passed food safety tests, carry the right certifications. Gives you that extra peace of mind.
Okay. Now, figuring out just how much water to store, that can feel like a really big question. The numbers might seem daunting.
Yeah, but the article provides a helpful starting point. Focus on your household's daily water use. It gives a general guideline. An average person might need roughly 2 gallons a day. That's for basic drinking and cooking.
2 gallons per person per day. Okay.
So, simple math. Household of four, that means a minimum need of 8 gallons per day.
That gives you a concrete number to work with. And the article strongly recommends having an additional supply specifically for emergencies, right?
Yes. The standard recommendation is aiming for at least a 1 week supply. That gives you a crucial buffer during unforeseen events. But of course, the article brings in the very real-world factor of your available storage space.
Right, you can't store water you don't have room for.
Exactly. You need to balance your ideal needs with what you can realistically fit in your home. And as the article suggests, often using a mix of different container sizes can be the most adaptable and practical approach.
Okay, so we've picked our containers, we have a target volume in mind. What about the containers themselves, keeping them in good shape? The article talks about durability and maintenance.
Durability is essential, obviously, for long-term reliability. The article stresses choosing materials that can handle the elements, normal wear and tear. Stainless steel gets mentioned again for its longevity.
Stands up to a lot.
It does. But beyond just the material, the design should also make cleaning easy and thorough. That's key to preventing bacteria buildup.
And it's not a one-off cleaning. The article recommends a regular schedule.
That's right. The suggestion is cleaning them every few months. Make it part of your routine. The article also gives some useful handling tips like avoid sharp objects that could damage them and try to limit direct sunlight exposure, which can degrade some plastics over time.
Good tips. Okay, so containers sorted, quantity estimated, maintenance plan in place. Now for a really critical bit, keeping the water itself safe to use. The article gets pretty detailed on safe storage practices.
Yeah, this is where paying attention really matters. The article starts by emphasizing how crucial it is to thoroughly clean and sanitize your containers regularly.
How do you do that properly?
It gives specific instructions using unscented household bleach. The ratio is 1 tablespoon of bleach per gallon of water. You let it soak for 30 minutes, then rinse really, really thoroughly to get rid of any bleach residue.
1 tablespoon per gallon, 30 minutes, rinse well. Got it.
And the suggestion is to do this every 1 to 3 months, maybe more often if your source water has a lot of sediment.
Okay. And beyond just cleaning the containers initially, what are the key ways to actively stop the stored water getting contaminated?
Several crucial strategies here. First off, use tight-fitting lids on everything. Essential to keep out dust, bugs, airborne bacteria.
Makes sense.
Storing them in a cool, dark place is also vital. Sunlight and heat encourage algae and bacteria growth. And finally, critical point, keep your water containers well away from any chemicals, gardening stuff, cleaning products, fuels. Prevent any accidental cross-contamination.
And regular checkups seem really important too. Routine inspections.
Absolutely. The advice is make it a habit. Regularly check containers for cracks, leaks, any general wear. At the same time, look closely at the water itself. Any weird smells, discoloration, those could indicate a problem with quality.
How often should you check?
The article suggests every couple of weeks, or at least monthly, lets you catch any issues early.
And where and how you physically place the containers matters too, right? Any specific tips there?
Yes. Elevating containers off the ground is a good idea. Helps reduce contamination risk from anything on the floor or ground.
Okay, off the ground.
Again, keep them physically separate from chemicals. And a simple but super effective tip, label every container clearly. Date you stored the water, what it is, this is crucial for the next point, water rotation.
Yes, rotation. Something I think a lot of people might overlook. Why is a system for rotating stored water so important?
Well, water that just sits stagnant for ages can become a breeding ground for bacteria. Its quality will gradually degrade over time.
So it doesn't last forever, even if stored well?
Not indefinitely, no. The article emphasizes the first in, first out principle. By labeling with dates, you always know which water is oldest and should be used first. Regularly monitoring levels also tells you when it's time to use some and replenish with fresh, clean water.
Okay, so we've stored it safely, we're rotating it, but what if we still have concerns about purity, especially in a real emergency? The article covers different treatment and purification methods.
It does. Kicking things off with boiling. The article rightly calls it one of the simplest yet most effective methods.
Just boil it.
Bring it to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute. That kills the vast majority of harmful bacteria, viruses, parasites. Just remember, if you're at high altitude, you need to boil it a bit longer.
Okay. What's the downside?
Well, the main drawback, as the article notes, is it's not always practical for large quantities. Takes time, takes fuel.
Right. What about those chemical options like chlorine or iodine tablets you can buy?
The article discusses those as convenient, portable options.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to follow the manufacturer's instructions really carefully. Dosage, contact time, all that.
Are they effective?
Generally, yes, against most microbial contamination. But the article cautions, iodine treatments might not be suitable for everyone. Pregnant women, people with thyroid conditions need to be careful.
Good to know. And for a more maybe thorough approach, there are filtration systems.
Exactly. Filters physically remove stuff, sediment, chlorine, bacteria, other impurities, can significantly improve taste, odor, safety.
Any specific types mentioned?
It mentions activated carbon filters specifically for tackling bad tastes and smells.
Mm.
And it highlights portable filter systems, super valuable if you need to treat water from, say, a river or lake while traveling or in an emergency.
Okay. And lastly, the article touches on UV purification, ultraviolet light. Sounds high tech.
It is a more advanced method. Uses UV light to destroy pathogens. The big plus is it's chemical-free.
Yeah.
But as the article notes, it needs electricity. So you'd need a backup power source in an emergency.
Yeah.
And the water needs to be pretty clear for the UV light to work properly. So if it's cloudy or murky, you might need to pre-filter it first.
Okay. Multiple options depending on the situation. So we've got the stored water. How do we make sure we manage it effectively over the long haul? The article gives some management strategies.
Yeah, a key part is having that clear system for rotation and usage we talked about.
Mm.
Labeling with dates, using the oldest first, regularly checking levels.
Right.
And the article also stresses involving everyone in the household, making sure they understand the system and why it's important.
And in a genuine emergency, when supplies might be limited, we might need to think about rationing.
That's a critical part of emergency planning. The article suggests developing rationing strategies beforehand. Also, identifying potential alternative water sources nearby, maybe rainwater collection, local rivers or ponds, but crucially, having the means and plan to treat that water before using it.
And making sure everyone in the family knows the plan.
Absolutely crucial. Education within the household is key.
It's clear it's not just about having the water, it's having a solid plan for managing it. Now, the article also briefly looks at broader environmental considerations. Responsible water management.
Yeah, an important perspective. The article encourages sustainable use, like using stored water for non-potable things first, watering plants, cleaning to conserve your drinking water supply.
That sense, use the precious stuff for drinking.
Right. It also mentions water-saving tech, like drip irrigation, and how community education can foster a wider culture of water conservation.
And rainwater harvesting gets a mention, too, as both supplementary and eco-friendly.
Absolutely. Collecting rainwater from roofs can provide a significant extra source. The article outlines the basics: gutters, downspouts, storage tanks.
But it needs upkeep.
Definitely. Regular maintenance is essential to keep the collected water clean, especially if you plan to use it for more than just watering the garden. Plus, it has that nice side benefit of reducing stormwater runoff locally.
And thinking about the containers again, the article nudges us towards eco-friendly choices.
Yes, opting for containers made from recyclable or sustainable materials helps minimize our environmental footprint. It also encourages reducing plastic waste by choosing durable, reusable containers, and suggests community workshops can be great for promoting these sustainable practices more widely.
Okay, that covers the main content, but it wraps up with a really handy FAQ section tackling common questions. Let's quickly run through some of those listeners might have these exact same questions. First up, what's the most effective emergency water storage setup?
The article sums it up. Use food-grade, clean, sealed containers. Store them somewhere cool and dark.
How often should you rotate your stored water?
Recommendation is every 6 months.
Is boiling water effective for purification in an emergency?
Yes. Rolling boil for 1 minute. Longer at high altitudes.
Best container materials again.
Food-grade plastic like HDPE, glass, and stainless steel. Those are your top choices.
Can you use regular household bleach to sanitize containers?
Yes. Unscented bleach. 1 tablespoon per gallon. Soak. Then rinse thoroughly.
Best way to stop algae growing in stored water.
Keep it cool, keep it dark, and make sure containers are tightly sealed.
What if your stored water starts to smell funny?
That likely signals contamination. Best bet is to drain it, clean and sanitize the container thoroughly, then refill with fresh water.
Key steps for setting up rainwater harvesting.
Basics are gutters and downspouts leading to a storage tank, plus a plan for regular maintenance.
Typical shelf life for properly stored water.
If you rotate it regularly, say every 6 to 12 months, it should stay good.
And finally, is UV purification worth considering?
Yes, the article suggests it is. It's effective and it's chemical free.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, drawing on water storage tips, essential strategies for success, it's just so clear how critical proactive planning is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about bracing for emergencies. It's genuinely about fostering greater self-sufficiency day to day and gaining that valuable peace of mind.
Definitely.
We've covered the key bases: choosing the right containers, safe storage practices, the absolute necessity of regular maintenance and rotation, and understanding those different treatment options to ensure your water's safe.
And hopefully by taking these informed steps, you, our listener, now feel well-equipped. You've got the practical knowledge to boost your preparedness for any potential water disruptions. The goal is feeling more secure and self-reliant without feeling, you know, totally overwhelmed by it all.
Right. So here's a final thought for you to ponder. Thinking about your own unique situation, where you live, what's maybe one immediate actionable step you could take, maybe even today, to improve your water storage setup?
Or maybe, are there local resources? Community initiatives in your area that could help support your water security plans further. Something to think about.
Definitely something to think about.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into such a fundamentally important topic.